Okay. Good morning, everybody. Isn't this a beautiful Christmas day? Amen. So good to see everybody here today. Glad that you could be with us for this special service this morning. Let's all stand together, and we're going to begin by singing a little chorus that worships the Lord, number 136. 136. Stand together with me, and you may not recognize this right away, but you will when we start to sing it, to a familiar tune. Oh, come, let us adore him. Number 136. Let's sing it out together. Everybody join in.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever, Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
Amen, amen. How many of you believe that? He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. And it's in his name that we come together this morning. Praise his holy name. All right, God bless you. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Father, as we look to you this morning on this beautiful, bright Christmas morning that you've given us, we want to lift our hearts, and we do praise you and give you glory for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the love that you bestowed upon us in that you sent your Son to die for us. And we thank you and rejoice in the great eternal salvation that you have wrought for us through his name. And I pray this morning, Lord, that each one here might know him personally. And if there's anybody who may never have come to a place yet in their life where they have trusted Christ, I pray even today, what a blessed day that would be on Christmas Day to put your faith and trust in the Son of God. And so, Father, we just thank you, we bless you, we give you glory now. In Jesus' name, amen. Shake hands, welcome everybody, and tell everybody a Merry Christmas.
Now please turn to 173. 173, Joy to the World. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4. Singing 173.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. Well, fields and flowers, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Verse 4.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Wow, it sang really good tonight, today. Now 187, the birthday of a king.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the sky was bright with the holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Hallelujah, oh, how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rained, and the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. 'Twas a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path was led, what a perfect holy way. Hallelujah, oh how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rained, and the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas a birthday.
Well, good morning again, everybody. It's good to see you. God bless you, and Merry Christmas to everybody. Well, we're here this morning because God has given us the greatest gift of all. Amen? Amen. The Lord Jesus and the wonderful salvation that we have through faith in him. Praise God for that. But how many of you got something else neat for Christmas? Did you get, anybody get anything neat for Christmas this year? Yeah, okay, well, I see some kids raising their hands. I don't see any grown-ups raising their hands. All right. Well, Annette did. What'd you get for Christmas, Annette?
Well, I got a one-piece suit that you wear on Mondays that says today is canceled.
Okay. Amen. Whoa. All right. Good for you. No more Mondays for you. All right. Man, somebody should come out with a suit for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's called retirement. Okay, all right. Okay, well, God bless you. Well, I know some kids. Bobby, what did you get? I know, praise the Lord. It's so good to see you guys sitting there. And Bill only has 6 more treatments up in Seattle, and then he's going to be home. So we're so glad for that. Bill, it's good to see you this morning. God bless you. Pray for those of our congregation who are ill or have ongoing things this Christmas. We have a number of folks in the hospital or in assisted living right now, rehab and what have you. And so pray for those folks that their Christmas would be bright and they would soon be able to be home, okay? All right. Well, guess what I got for Christmas? Socks! You're right. I got lots of socks this Christmas. I don't know why I got so many socks. I always get some socks. But this Christmas, I seem to get a lot of socks, and no holes so far. Yeah, well, I haven't tried them all on yet, but
I must have got about 15 or 20 pairs of socks this Christmas. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I got a pair on this morning that my daughter got for me. You want to see them? Can you see them? Okay, here they are. I don't think I can hold my leg up anymore, but there they are. All right. Okay, well, it's good to have everybody here, and I know we have folks visiting, and it's nice to have you here for Christmas, and I hope you have a great time. And if you're just looking for a church, though, we want to invite you back. If you're local and you are looking for a church, why, we'd like to get to know you better. We're glad to have you here today. All right, the schedule's pretty simple this week. There's nothing going on, no service tonight, no midweek service, but we do have a service on Christmas Eve. It's not really a service, so we're just opening up Christmas Eve? We've already had that, haven't we? All right, and it was good, by the way, wasn't it? Were you here last night? Okay, all right, amen. Amen. Pastor Randy did a great job in leading us last night. But this coming Saturday night, which is New Year's Eve, all right, at 8 o'clock, the church will be open, and we're going to have a time of get-together, and bring snacks to share. And if you have table games, especially you adults, older ones, if you want to play table games, bring some table games, and there'll be table games going on in the fellowship hall over on the east side. The gym will be open all evening for the kids and whoever wants to play in the gym. And we're going to be showing a movie in here sometime during the evening, usually around 9 o'clock or so. And then just to have a get-together at midnight for those who have endured to the end. And see the new year in, okay? I'm not sure if I'm going to be one of those, Pastor Randy. I got to tell you right now, he's our strong leader here, so he will see you to the end if I cannot endure. But at any rate, we're looking forward to a good time, and everybody's welcome. Hope you can come, all right? And so that's what's going on. And then after the first of the year, don't forget there is a new membership class coming up shortly, January 13th. And if you're interested in coming to the new membership class, there's a sign-up sheet out on the table. Please sign up. And I think we have a couple of dozen or something like that signed up already. And just going to be able to discuss everything that you need to know about being a member of Temple Baptist Church, okay? All right, let's have the men come, and we will take our gifts this morning, and just remind you also that tomorrow night, Monday night, is a mission night, so pray for the gospel mission, that the Word of God would be effectual there. Pray for our gospel team that goes over there. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift that you've given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. The Scripture calls it the unspeakable gift, and Father, truly it is. Words cannot express it. And so, Father, as we give back to you, we do it in light of that gift. Because you have changed us, because you have given us loving, caring, generous hearts, we give back to you. And we pray, Lord, that you might take what is given and use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now please turn to 190. 190. Angels we have heard on high, we'll sing all three verses. 190.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Yes, Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What a gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Yes, Deo.
Turn back a few pages to 184. 184. God rest ye merry gentlemen. 184. We'll sing all five verses. This is your last Christmas song, so sing out.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of pure and virgin bride, to free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. When winter's at the tiding, rejoice much in his mind. Then left their flocks a-feeding in tempest's wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway the Son of God to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And when they came to Bethlehem, where our dear Savior lay, they found him in a manger where oxen and feet on hay. His mother Mary, kneeling down unto the Lord, did pray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. Merry Christmas to you. It's a beautiful morning. It's a great day to be together. Also a great day to spend time with family and to fellowship together. Pastor Mike got socks. I was thinking, I'm glad he didn't get underwear. Oh, you got some of that too. Okay. All right. No. I'm a little embarrassed now. Over the years, I've gotten a lot of wonderful gifts. My wife and my son and my daughter, they all are really good at knowing me and giving me gifts that really bless me. And, you know, I've gotten power tools in the past, and if you were to look around our house and at projects, you would know that I got those power tools because I have built things with them. I have sawed lumber, and I have drilled holes, and I have set screws, and I have put things together and taken things apart and reassembled them and fixed things, and it's just been a blessing as I go, and I think of them as I use those tools. Every year, my wife, we haven't exchanged gifts yet formally, but she did give me a traditional gift, and she gives me a pair of slippers every Christmas, and it's good because by the end of the year, my slippers are shot. And so she brought out the new slippers last night and said, here's your new slippers. Give me those old nasty ones. And she took those and promptly disposed of them. And I got new slippers. And you know what? Those things are great, but they're only great if you put them on your feet. You know, and I wore them last night, and my feet were in shock. They were so comfortable and soft and everything else. And I, like I say, over the years, I've just gotten so many wonderful gifts that I've been able to put to use. Hunting gear, fishing gear, tools, and gifts not only that are functional, but gifts that have beauty. I've gotten pictures and things like that from friends that are wonderful because they also are functional. They're functional and they bring back memories of good times together. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for gifts that work. And you know, Pastor Mike, you mentioned earlier that Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 is described as it says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know that word unspeakable only exists there? That Greek word only exists there in the whole New Testament. It literally means that there's no words or way to express the greatness of the gift. That it transcends our ability to describe it. That it's a gift that's so amazing that we really can't even conceive of all that it can do, and we can't possibly comprehend its depth and breadth and height, and we can't even possibly describe it to others except one way. There's only the only way you can describe this unspeakable gift is to make it your own. You've got to make it your own. You've got to open the package and make it your own. If my wife had given me those new slippers and I had said, thank you so much, honey, and I had put them on the shelf knowing full well that I have new slippers over there, but I never wore them, they would serve me no purpose. And all of her best intentions and her gracious giving would mean nothing actually in my life. And I can be acquiescent, I can thank her for them, I can acknowledge that they're there, but if I don't wear them, they don't serve any purpose. They don't do any good. Jesus Christ is the most indescribable, impossible to imagine, deep, wide, massive, impressive, complicated, supernatural gift we will ever receive. But if we leave him on the shelf and just point over there and say, I believe there's a God. I believe there's a Jesus. We're missing the point. Because the gift has to be applied. And when it is applied, it changes our lives. It absolutely changes our lives. When Jesus Christ, that most unspeakable gift, comes into our lives, instead of just next to us, You know, Jesus even said to his disciples, it is better for you that I go. It's more expedient for you that I go. Because being next to you is not nearly as good as being in you. And he wants to be in us. And when he's in us, guess what? He changes us. It goes from being something on the shelf to being something in our hearts. And it changes us. And I want to talk this morning about what are the evidences of this most unspeakable gift coming out from inside of us? What does it look like? Because it produces some amazing fruit. I want to talk about that this morning. And by the end, you will know. You will know as you sit there, you go, do I have those things coming out in me? Because if I don't, then maybe I have not fully unwrapped the gift. Maybe I have not made this unspeakable gift my own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I want to thank you this morning. I give you the glory and the praise. And Lord, as we celebrate the birth of your Son, dear God, we celebrate his obedience and his humility. We celebrate his meekness and yet his power. We celebrate, dear Lord, his willingness to subordinate himself to you and to come and to die for us. I just pray, Lord, that you'd be with us as we spend some time in your word now. In Christ's name, amen. The first thing, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you're here visiting today as with family, I'm glad you're here. I really am thrilled that we have a good crowd this morning. God's word is the only thing that changes people's lives. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Paul, it's not my story that gets people saved. It's the gospel. Here in Galatians chapter 5, we see one of the evidences of having unwrapped the gift of Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, that Holy Spirit that abides inside of us, resides inside of us if we have unwrapped this unspeakable gift, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, they're never wrong to do. And they that are Christ's, hear that? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust, which is the opposite, by the way, of all those things. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we see here that one of the things that is the result of actually taking the gift and making it our own is spiritual fruit. Notice it says the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. All of these character traits, you can't look at this and go, well, I have pretty good joy. I'm not very meek or gentle, but I have good joy. It doesn't work that way. All of these are products of the Holy Spirit's indwelling. And while we have our flesh and we're not always good at all of them, there should be a natural spiritual inclination toward them. Okay, if I have unwrapped that package and I have put it inside, then I should manifest joy. I mean, what if I came up here this morning to share the word with you and I, well, let's talk about God. I mean, we have to. It's church, right? So let's, if you got a Bible, open it. If you don't worry about it. It's not really that important. Would you believe me? Would you believe I believed it? No. No. God is so amazing. He's so phenomenal. You say, come on, pastor. No, it's not because I'm a pastor. This is what God puts inside us. And you can't really keep it down. Unless you want to be kind of carnal. But there's a fruit that happens. And there's a beautiful balance in this fruit. There is, the first we see are love, joy, and peace. Huh. You know, the Bible tells us that we love him because he first loved us. When we accept Christ as our Savior, when we unwrap that package called salvation and we incorporate that into our lives by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, there comes into our life, because of the Holy Spirit, a love that you would never have on your own. It just is. I mean, you've felt it. You have felt the love and the compassion for someone who has done nothing to earn it. That's a beautiful, that's because of God in you. That's not because you're a good person. It's because of God. And we can know the joy. That angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And that joy is the joy of the Lord. We can know that. That is evidence of God in us. Okay? If you find yourself, and that doesn't mean that there aren't times when we struggle with different things in our lives, but there is an underlying joy, a confidence in God that all things are going to be okay and that the circumstance of the day doesn't determine who I am. Okay? Over my, I am, as I have gotten older, I have watched my physical characteristics change. I used to have hair. And I got to tell you, if it wasn't for the Lord, and I could look in the mirror and say, whatever. But it's because I think that being bald is really godly. I'm teasing. But the point is this, though. It doesn't matter. Because my joy is not based upon how I look. I'll never be tall, I'll never be skinny, and I'll never be furry. But that's okay. Because you know what? God is on the throne. Christ is in my life. The Holy Spirit indwells me. I'm going to heaven. My life has purpose. Everything that I do can matter for God. And in the end, I don't take any of that other stuff with me anyway, and I'm getting a new body. So why not be joyful? But if you're sitting here today and you're going, well, you know, things are pretty bad. Looks pretty bad. If you can't find that joy, I don't mean make it up, I mean just find it, because it's already there. And that peace that passes understanding, that is how you know you've unwrapped the gift, folks. Because there's a joy there. That's just, you can't suppress it. You can, I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, he got shipwrecked, he got beaten, he got stoned, he got caned several times, lashed several times, left for dead. I mean, that guy, he was amazing. Amazing. And you know what he referred to all that as? A light affliction. A light affliction. You know, it's possible for us to have our car not start and we'll melt down. We can lose over little things. And yet, the reality is, God in us lets us see God in things. And we just got to trust Him. When we have unwrapped the package called this unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, there is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it really is evidence of an unspeakable gift that has been unwrapped. Another thing is the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit reflects our character. The fruit, I've upset him. It's all right. The next we see is, sorry, Trevor. Trevor's running out. Not only do we have the fruit of the Spirit, but we have the fruits of righteousness in our lives because of God. When we have unwrapped that unspeakable gift, we have made Christ our Lord and Savior. Turn to Philippians chapter 1 with me, please. The fruit of the Spirit reflects our character. The fruit of righteousness reflects our conduct. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. It says that ye may approve things that are excellent. That's excellent not just in good, but morally, ethically, godly, excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Oh, man. Which are by Jesus Christ. See, that's the gift. If the gift has been unpackaged and opened and incorporated into your life, then because of that, under the glory and praise of God, we will manifest the fruits of righteousness. Our conduct will match our Christian character. I will act like Christ. I will love like Christ. I will forgive like Christ. Christ, who on the cross looks down and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I will be meek like Christ. I will be sincere like Christ. I will speak the truth in love like Christ. I will manifest grace and truth in my life because I have unpacked that unspeakable gift. We live in a day and an age and in a world where situational ethics allow people to justify behaviors and conduct that are not right. And they explain it away with a lot of different excuses. That's just how it is now. Or things are changing. Or we're just being more progressive. Or it's expedient, or it doesn't really matter. But the reality is, conduct matters. Speech matters. If I am profane and harsh and cutting and condemning, that hurts, and it matters. But if I speak the truth in love, if I let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, that also matters. You see, when we unpackage the gift called Jesus Christ and we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, it changes how we speak. It changes how we act. We become, if we let Him, we become kind and civil and polite and patient and gracious. We become good listeners. We become quick to listen and slow to speak. We begin to control our tempers through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we reach out to others before they reach out to us. Do you know that God, throughout all of eternity, all of creation, has been the one that always makes the first move? He reaches out. And do you know that God expects us as Christians to be like Him, to be the ones to make the first move, to reach out? It's a beautiful thing when we unpackage that gift called Jesus Christ and we make Him our own, accept Him as Lord and Savior. It changes not just my character, but it changes my conduct, because my conduct follows my character. And no one is perfect, we get that. But I'll tell you what, when we let Christ in, it changes how we are on the outside, not just the inside. It's a beautiful thing, you know. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You see, God works on us. God chastens us. When we accept Christ, then we are inviting God to give us a critique and to say, "Make me more like your son." And He does that. But He doesn't do that because He just wants to be a disciplinarian. The Bible's really clear. He does that He might produce in us the fruits of righteousness, that our conduct would match the character of Christ that should be in us. That's a beautiful thing. You see, because you and I can't be good on our own. We can be okay. If we compare to the world, we can be good. But if we compare to perfection, we fall far short. But the supernatural graciousness and kindness and love and instant acceptance that we can have as Christians cannot be faked in the world. So, have you unpackaged the gift? Do you see your character like Christ? Do you see your conduct in honoring God? That's what the unspeakable gift does. The third thing is, there is the fruit of the gospel. You know, when you get a great gift, you want to tell people about it. When you get an amazing gift, you got to share it with other people. Oh, you would not believe what I got. I mean, Pastor Mike got socks. But he's excited about them. And they're blue socks with kind of goldish spots. And Dana got him, he's excited because of who gave them to him, okay? Because it represents a relationship, okay? Well, the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ is the most amazing. If it's a gift that is truly so indescribable that words can't touch it, you're going to want to share that with other people. You want to share, and there should be the fruit of the gospel. Colossians 1:5, turn there with me, please. Kind of marching back through the New Testament here. Colossians 1:5-6 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit." Note, the truth of the gospel bringeth forth fruit, "as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth." When we accept Christ, we unpack that unspeakable gift and make it our own by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. We have something to tell. We have a story to share. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth" what? "Much fruit." Much fruit. Folks, there's no thing you can tell somebody that's more important than how to go to heaven. There's nothing else that's more important. You can give them the best stock tip you know. You can tell them where to buy a car cheap. You can tell them about an ad on Craigslist. You could tell them anything you want, but if you don't tell them how to get saved, you've left out the most important part. And in the life of a believer, if you've gotten saved, then you have a testimony. Because you know what you were before you got saved, you know how you got saved, and you know what you've been since you got saved. That's all it takes. And we shouldn't go to work, and we shouldn't go to the store, and we shouldn't go to the restaurant. We shouldn't go to other people's house and not be thinking about the most amazing story of all. The one where God redeemed us. That's a great story. And we should have fruit. Now, it may not be that you share the gospel and someone gets saved right then, but you might share your story, and that's part of that person's migration to surrender. You might be watering the seed. Maybe you're planting the seed. And somebody else comes along and says, "Hey, you know, I'm a Christian. Have you ever accepted Christ?" And the person says, "No, but I'd like to." And the Christian's shocked. "What?" Well, that's because other people have been watering and watering and watering and sharing their testimony. There should be a fruit. There can be a fruit. See, when a Christian doesn't share about Christ, it's because they do it in spite of themselves. Because there's no better story. There's no better. And some of you know this already, but in one summer, between my 7th and 8th grade year, God saved my dad and my mom and saved their marriage. God saved my brother and my sister and me. And our whole lives changed forever. My dad was a godly man from that moment forward, and he changed. I got to tell you, he changed. He wasn't a bad man before, but he was a godly man after. And he changed. And because he had the courage and the obedience to know what we needed, because when we had this discussion as a family, he said, we're not going to throw the family away. We're going to go someplace, because if God is real, he can fix this. So we went to a Bible-believing church, and we all heard the gospel. That was the first time we'd heard the gospel. We'd gone to church since I was a little kid, but that's the first time we heard the gospel. And we all got saved. And you know what? I, as a Christian then, when I started thinking about a wife, I prayed, God, I want to meet a godly woman. And I get to see a picture of my wife from a couple hundred miles away, and the Lord had worked in her life, and she had just gotten saved. And my brother married a woman who was saved, and my sister married a young man who was saved, and all of their kids and our kids are saved. And now I'm looking at our grandson, Calder. He looks at me like, what? And I pray for him, for his salvation, okay? But my dad wasn't content to just let him be saved. He didn't go to church and let him get saved, because he was the first one saved. He didn't get saved and say, okay, that's good now. All of a sudden, he had a passion for all of us to be saved. Folks, there's a fruit in our lives that comes from having the unspeakable gift unpackaged and accepted that makes us want to tell our story. And that's just part of it. The Great Commission is given by Jesus as the mission statement for all Christians, for all of us. The fourth thing about this is there is the gift of ministering. In Romans chapter 1, there's the fruit of service or ministering. Romans 1:12 says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul wanted to serve and to bless those of the church in Rome, and he wanted to minister to them. In chapter 15, verse 25, he says, now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints there. You see, there is a fruit of service that comes from our lives. There's a desire to serve other people because of what's inside of us. I got to tell you that before I got saved, even though I wasn't real old, I was selfish. The first person on my list was me. Okay? That's easy to do, isn't it? Isn't it easy to have you be first? Think of most of the things, most of the time, when I get upset, it's because, hey, what about me? That phrase pops in, right? That phrase, hey, what about me? What about what I think? Wanting to be first is human. That's very natural to us. But when you unpack that unspeakable gift called the Lord Jesus Christ and you make him part of your life, then there emerges inside of you this desire to serve others. It's even unexplainable. It might even catch you by surprise. It might seem sometimes so amazingly spontaneous that you be tempted to reject it as foolish. But God says, hey, buy those folks dinner. Why? Who cares why? Maybe they've been having a discussion and they, as a couple, are talking about how the world has changed and nobody gives anybody anything anymore. Nobody shows graciousness. Nobody shows kindness. And all of a sudden they get all done and they get ready to go and the wait staff comes up and says, by the way, another couple bought your meal tonight. Well, who did that? I don't even know. It doesn't matter, but they said they wanted to bless you guys. And all of a sudden, everything that they'd come to as a conclusion gets just blown up because somebody served. Everybody who has unpacked that gift called Jesus Christ in them has the capacity to serve beyond your own means and beyond your own ability. Oh, man, there is nothing richer and sweeter than touching people's lives. It's just to serve. What did the Bible say about the Son of Man came what? To seek and to save. And he was a servant. He was a servant. He said, my meat, my sustenance, what I live off of is doing the will of the Father. It's a beautiful thing. And I just hope that as you look at your life, if your life is one where service is compulsory and not spontaneous, where it's for effect as opposed to for blessing, that you maybe the service is for the Christian, service isn't a tool. It's not a means. It's a privilege and an honor. It's just awesome. It is just awesome. And that's part of unpacking that gift. Whether you're young or old, service becomes part of it. We have fruit of service. And the last one is there will be, when we have unpacked that unspeakable gift and incorporated it into our lives, there will be a fruit of praise. We will have a sense of glorifying God, giving Him the credit, giving Him the glory. Let me just share with you a couple of verses and we'll be done. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." And Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." So Psalm 147:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." Praise ye the Lord occurs 24 times in the Scriptures. When we have Christ in our lives, there will be a natural inclination to give God the glory and God the credit. Praise God. Praise God. Like if we really stop and consider things, if we really intellectually evaluated our lives, we would realize that much of our success and our financial condition has had to do with circumstances we do not control. That we are not where we are because we're super smart and super clever. Because one tragedy can wipe all that out. We are blessed where we are because of a great and gracious God. And when we have unpacked that gift and made it our own, then we know where it comes from. The Bible says all good things and perfect things come down from above, from heaven, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variables nor shadow of turning. We know that God is the giver of good gifts. So here's the question. Have you unpacked the unspeakable gift? If you have, then you will see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Our character will match the gift. We will see our conduct, our righteousness match the gift. We will have our testimony match the gift. We will have our service and our ministering match the gift. And we will glorify God because of the great gift that's inside of us. That's how we know. So if you're here this morning and think, you know what? I've got some of that, but I don't have all of that. Maybe that unspeakable gift is still waiting to be unwrapped. Just maybe. And if it is, if you have never actually made that gift your own, then there's nothing more important that you could do today than unwrap that gift first before any others. And let the gift of salvation be truly the most unspeakable gift you'll ever know. And if you do, I guarantee you this, you'll want to tell other people. You will want to share it. You will be like that old songwriter who said, "Go, tell it on the mountain." Amen? I'd like to invite the choir to come up. Let's sing a song for you, and then we'll close. And all of you out there, would you turn in your hymnals to 181, please, and get ready, because you're going to become part of the choir pretty quick. Got your spots at 181? What's going to happen is we're going to sing this song through, then we're going to stop, and we're going to have you all stand and have you sing it with the first verse again with us as we close, all right? All right. Stand with me, please. 181, let's sing the first stanza again together. Tell the news. Tell it on the mountain. Shout it out.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. While shepherds kept their watching, or
if you have not unwrapped that gift called Jesus Christ, it's time. It's been waiting there. The Bible says God sent the Savior. God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And it's His will that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to not embrace His Son. So this is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you so much for the unspeakable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, truly the only way that we can even know to any dimension the depth and breadth and height and scope of that gift is to make it our own. I pray, dear God, that if there are those here that have never accepted Christ as their Savior, they would realize that the best gift of all is yet to be opened. And no other will match it. I pray, Lord, for all of those who have, Lord, those that are here today that are Christians, that they would live the reality of the gift they have received. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas, folks. Have a wonderful day. By the way, on the back table, don't forget to grab them. There's lots of them out there.